There is a lot of anticipation of a Democratic wave in next Tuesday's vote, and many predictions that control of Congress could well change hands.
That hasn't happened very often in recent history. Democrats took control of both houses in 1932 and held on to both for 14 years until 1946, when both the Senate and the House reverted to Republican control. One explanation? Public dissatisfaction with the pace of post-war recovery.
Then there was a period of flip-flopping. In 1948, President Truman dubbed lawmakers a do-nothing Congress, and the Democrats regained control of both houses. In 1952, with the Korean War underway, it was the Republicans' turn.
And in 54, the Democrats took control again, and they held on to one or both houses for four decades until the Republican Revolution of 1994.
We asked political scientist Gary Jacobson to look back on past congressional elections to see if there's a template for what could happen on Tuesday. He teaches at the University of California, San Diego, and he thought of two possible parallels.
1950 and 1966 were both elections where the economy was in pretty good shape, but the president's popularity was very low because of an unpopular war. And I think these make the best parallels for this election year for that reason. The difference, of course, is that in 1966, Republicans picked up 47 seats, but Democrats had gained 37 seats in the previous election, so there was a lot of kind of low-hanging fruit for the Republicans to go after. This time around, there isn't a lot of low-hanging fruit for the Democrats to go after, so they're unlikely to make gains of that magnitude. They're going to be gains, but they're going to be smaller.
And even with those losses in 1966, the Democrats did keep control of Congress.
Oh, yes, they did. They had a very large majority that Republicans would have had to win 100 seats or so to take over.
The mother of all title surges, of course, would be the Republican Revolution of 1994. Republicans gain 52 seats in the House, get control of the House for the first time in 40 years, also get a Senate majority, and unseat 10 Democratic governors. Do you see any parallels between what happened in 1994 and what could be happening now in 2006?
Not too many. The only the major parallels is unhappiness with the current administration. There was a considerable unhappiness with Clinton as in terms of his domestic policy. We weren't at war at that time. For Bush, the unhappiness is focused largely on foreign policy. In both cases, the economy was doing pretty well. But the big difference in it was in 1994, the Democrats had a lot of vulnerable representatives in Congress, in the Senate, and also among governors. That is, they were Democrats representing seats that had been voting Republican at the presidential level for some time. And you know, when people were sufficiently unhappy, they started voting at the congressional level as they had been voting at the presidential level. This time around, of course, the Democrats have to win seats that are in Republican-leaning territory, and that's much tougher.
It does seem that one other thing that could make this tougher for Democrats as they try to gain control of Congress is redistricting, which has really solidified districts and made those seats far more impermeable to a challenge.
Well, that's about a third of the story. There has been some effect of redistricting. Republicans helped themselves considerably after 2000. They picked up maybe 9 to 12 seats. But the real problem the Democrats face is, if you look at the shift in competitive levels of districts over the last couple of decades, the biggest change has been by voters, not by redistrict drawers. That voters have adopted a pattern of voting consistently in a more partisan way than in the past.
You seem to be sounding pretty cautious about what might be happening next Tuesday. Would you care to venture a prediction if there is to be some sort of Democratic wave? How big might it be? How many seats might they gain?
I think that there is a Democratic wave. My point prediction on this has been about 20 seats.
20 seats in the House.
In the House. And the Senate is much harder to call. The Democrats, to win a majority, would have to take, I think, 7 out of the 8 close races right now. But it's hard to gamble on that. You wouldn't go to Vegas with those kinds of odds.
And if you were to describe the strength of that wave, then it sounds like it would be a middling wave?
Well, I think it's a strong wave, but I think that the levies protecting the Republicans are much higher than the levies protecting the Democrats in 1994. Democrats tend to be concentrated in urban areas where they have very large majorities, whereas Republicans are spread out more efficiently from the party's perspective, where they have smaller majorities but in more districts. And that kind of structural advantage, combined with habits of party loyalty which have developed over the past decade or so, make it much harder for Democrats to take a majority. So I think the size of the wave is going to be quite formidable. But the landscape over which it's pouring is more easily defended by Republicans than in previous midterms where there was such a surge.
Well, Gary Jacobson, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Gary Jacobson is a professor of political science at the University of California, San Diego.